You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Well, turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to just read several verses here in Isaiah, and won't read the whole chapter, but I'm going to go several verses in the first part of it and then go to the last part of it. We may get into Isaiah 41. This is nothing new. These are scriptures we've gone over before. Been a while. But good stuff. Thank God for the Word. Amen?
Amen.
Thank God for the Bible. I tell you, there's strength. There is hope in the Bible. Yes. You know, the other night we closed out the book of Hebrews, or the other morning, on Hebrews 13, talking about that's the last chapter. That's generally what you do when you close out a book. You're in the last chapter. We're closing out the last chapter, 13th chapter, and talking about how God was the God of peace, and how some six times in the New Testament, the Bible calls him the God of peace, the God of peace, God of peace. Aren't you glad he's not the God of turmoil and the God of confusion? He is the God of peace. And I don't know, I just got to meditating on that and got to thinking about Isaiah 40, where it talks about the very first verse, comfort ye my people, says the Lord. You know, if anything you get from God, it's comfort. You get soundness of mind. In other words, the clouds dissipate, the sun shines, the wind settles down, there's a stillness, there's a calm. Be still and know that I am God. You know, the Bible tells us in Psalms 46, verse 10. And so you find your center in God. You find your mainstay in God. You find your core, your base in God. That's where our strength is. That's where our peace is. So when things are flying, the bullets are flying, okay, and you're in the middle of the battle, you can find your peace and your center in God. Your strength comes from Him. It doesn't come from your surroundings. It doesn't come from what's happening. That's why it really, honestly, when we say I'm happy, it's better to say I'm joyful. Happy is kind of dependent on happenstance. It comes from happenings. If everything's happening right, then you're happy. Now, I know we use it loosely, and we don't always mean it when we say that, and I still use the term too. But more correctly, we're joyful. When we're joyful, it doesn't matter what's happening. We're more than just happy. Things are not just lined up. You can be happy when everything's lined up, but you can be joyful when everything's not lined up. Because your source of strength is in God. And your comfort and your peace comes from Him. And you know the outcome. You know you'll win this deal. Maybe it's raining, but you know you stay on this road, you'll get to your destination. You don't pull over. You don't turn around. You don't quit. You don't give up. You know, so what? There's a little battle going on. There's an onslaught going on. There's a crisis you're facing. Doesn't change the outcome if you don't change your direction.
Amen.
Can you say amen, somebody?
Amen.
So, you know, here he says, comfort ye, my people. God wants you to be comforted. He wants you to be helped and strengthened, and He wants you to find hope and peace in Him. Now, you know, if you're in sin, you need to repent. Hello. Good deal. I got three of y'all agree with that. But if all things being equal, if you have repented and you've come out of that sin, then there's comfort for you and there's hope for you. You know, God's not soft on sin. He hates sin. He hates it because it will destroy you. God's no more soft on sin than He is soft on sickness. And we shouldn't either. We shouldn't be soft on sin, but we should be soft on the sinner. Are you with me? We should love and have compassion for the sinner, but hate the sin. I mean, I would hate cancer. I mean, I hate it with a righteous indignation, a righteous hatred. I hate cancer. I'm against cancer because it destroys and kills the body. Well, sin does the same thing to you spiritually. It'll ruin your life. It'll ruin your marriage, ruin your whole life. That's why we're so hard against it, but we're for the person. It's our love for the person that makes us hate sin so much. Are you with me? You understand the context? Separate the two. We don't hate sinners. We hate sin. Why? Because of what it does. I don't hate sick people. Do you hate sick people? But I sure hate sickness, don't you? Now, can you separate that? I mean, that's pretty easy. Who likes sickness? Nobody likes sickness. But don't you like sick people? Okay. Well, it's the same thing. I hate sin. I love sinner. I hate sickness. I love sick people. And we know what sickness does to the body, and that's what sin does, you know, to the soul. You know, actually, if you think of the word whole, it's an old English word, whole. A person was made whole. We don't really use that term anymore, but you see it in the King James Version. A person was made whole. He was made complete. You know, if he's well, someone is well or healed, we say they're whole in King James terms. Well, it had the same connotation of the word holy. They both come from the same word in Old English. Now, I'm talking about Greek or Hebrew. To be holy is to be complete spiritually. To be whole physically is to be healed or complete physically. So what sin does to you physically, you're not whole, you're incomplete. You're not well, you're not okay. Or sickness, excuse me, does to you physically. Sin does to you spiritually, you're not holy, you're sinful. See, think about it. And that's where the word came from. When you think about the old English word whole and holy, well, what sin does to you spiritually, sickness does to you physically, and not a lot of difference. God forgives sin and heals diseases. Amen? Because He doesn't like sin and He doesn't like sickness. But having said that, He's got comfort for you. He's got comfort for the sick person. He's got comfort for the sinner. He's got a cure for it. Got a cure for it. So He says, comfort ye, my people, says the Lord. And you ought to get that in church. I mean, I think about how many churches you go to, people hit you over the head, beat you over the head, tell you how no good you are, you hate your mama, you hate your papa, you never done a good thing in your life, God bless your dirty, rotten little hearts. And they'll always end up, but God loves you and I do. God bless you, dirty, rotten little hearts. You know, I mean, there's a way to preach the gospel, and there's a way not to preach the gospel, and we ought to bring comfort. We stand for righteousness and holiness and holy living, but we love people and we comfort people, and there's restoration, there's hope for you. Amen? And we went out to eat with Mark and Marceline today at lunch. They wanted to just talk with us and just love the church. And, you know, just we sat down and we ate lunch with them today, and he was talking about when him and Marceline got saved, and they were all excited about Jesus. They were going on a trip. They went up to Arkansas, I think is where it was. They decided they were just going to stop and go to church everywhere they get a chance to go to church. They went to this little church and walked in the door, and the preacher started the sermon and says, "The title of my message today is Trouble, Trouble, Everywhere, Trouble." Oh, no. And he said they thought, "I think we went to the wrong church today." Well, listen, there may be trouble, but I got good news for you. Amen? There's someone greater than your trouble. There may be pain and crisis, and you may be facing a battle, but I'm going to tell you, I want to bring comfort to you through the Word of God. And that's what God does. He is the God of peace, the God of comfort, the God of hope, and the God of help. Hallelujah. And here He's telling them, comfort ye, my people, says the Lord. Speak comfort to Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for her sins. And that's just judgment. He didn't do anything bad to them. He made the world and made the laws as such. If you go out and sin, you're going to pay for that sin. And God made the world the way it is, that you just can't be blessed unless you serve Him. He's not doing bad things to you. Actually, God doesn't leave us when we sin. We leave Him. It's almost like saying God doesn't do anything to us. It's not God doing something to us per se. It's God not doing anything at all because we're not even in His presence. And you get away from His presence, you're going to get in pain, grief, misery, and agony on in. And so this is judicial. This is not God doing something to you because we know Jesus didn't do those kinds of things. Are you with me? Their sins brought it. See the context of it? Judgmentally, God has to take His hands off and let judgment take its course. He can't bless sin. Are you out there? Because it says, her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. For all her sins. Think about it. If you've repented of your sin, let me speak comfort to you. Are you with me? Let me speak comfort to Jerusalem and to you if you repented of your sins. You're not in for a rough road as a Christian. There's going to be challenges, sure. But I'll tell you, the hard road is the devil's road. The hard road is the sin road. That's the hard road. If you'll serve God, you'll get comfort from God. And He's forgiven you if you've repented of your sins. In fact, in this case, it says she's received double for all of her sins. You know, Jesus paid the price for all of our sins under the new covenant. All of our iniquity was poured out upon Him. And He bore the iniquity of us all. And by His stripes ye were healed. Hallelujah. In fact, that's in this book. Notice what he goes on to say. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill be brought low. In other words, smooth sailing, smooth road, smooth ride. Your ride's going to smooth out here. Hallelujah. Amen. Serving God. That's what we herald from the pulpit. That's what we cry from the mountaintop. That's what we say as ministers. Comfort, peace. There's hope. There's victory. You can come out of the mess. You say, well, I feel like I'm in a prison. Well, you may be, but I got good news. The gate's open. What are you doing in the prison? Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to hell. Well, I got good news. You don't have to go there. You can go to heaven. You can come to Jesus and be saved. Amen? See, there's always hope and there's always comfort in God. The message we bring is not a message of condemnation, judgment, even judgment per se. We judge sin, as it were, but we don't even preach hell. Hell is a place, and people do go there, and we believe in it, and the Scripture is very plain. There is a hell, but you know what we preach? We preach heaven. Hallelujah. See, we're not preaching about going to hell. We're not here to tell you how to go to hell. We're here to tell you how to go to heaven. Hallelujah. Think about it. We're not here to tell you, you know, how to ruin your life and ruin your marriage and how to mess yourself up with all the different sins you could commit. We're here to tell you how you can make a good marriage and how you can come back to God and how you can get your life straightened back out and come out of the drugs and come out of the addictions and so on and so forth. We speak comfort. We herald it. We preach it. We declare it. Prepare the way of the Lord. How? Repent. Get right. Come on. Let Jesus come into your life. Let Him turn you around. Woo. Hallelujah. Excuse me for getting excited. He says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. How? Why in the desert? Because that's where people are. They're in the wilderness and they need to come out of the wilderness of their pain. They need to come out of the desert of their depression, their destruction. They need to cross the Jordan, come on into the land of Canaan that flows with milk and honey. And you may be still in the wilderness of your pain, in the desert of your destruction, your depression. But there is a highway and there's a way that we preach and teach as Christians, as believers, that we stand up and point to. There is a highway for God to come into your life and for you to come out of that wilderness and come out of that desert. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo! Every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. Smooth sailing, see? Smooth out the path. The crooked places shall be made straight. The rough places smooth. Love that. You've been struggling. You don't have to struggle. You don't have to struggle. God will help you. There's still going to be challenges, sure, but God will help you and God will strengthen you and God will get you through situations you never thought you'd get through. Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So, you know, got tragedy, got trouble, got crisis, got pain, got opposition, in a battle. I got good news for you. God's bigger than the battle. He's bigger than the pain. If God be for you, who can be against you? Greater is He that's in you than He is in the world. We have the victory through Christ Jesus. He calls us to triumph in Christ. Hallelujah. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We were born to overcome. Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world, the Bible says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? He that believeth that Jesus is the Christ. Hallelujah. Whoever is born of God overcomes the world. That's me. That's you. Man, I'm telling you, we're world overcomers. May not know it, but we are. We're born to win. We're born to win. Woo, I was born for such a time as this. Battles? Oh, that's what we do. We fight battles. We win battles. Amen. Trouble? Oh, we've been ready for this all of our life. What are you talking about? We laugh at trouble. We eat trouble for breakfast. The breakfast of champions. That's right. Amen. Well, how? What are you saying? Well, I'm saying the Lord's with me. Amen. I mean, God told Joshua, after Moses died, Joshua, the first chapter, he said, there shall not a man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Only be strong and courageous that you may go in and possess the land which I promised to your fathers to give them. Whew. Man, what was his strength? Knowing that God was with him. You know, I remember when I was lost. I wasn't all that tough. I got a lot of fights, but I wasn't all that tough. But I had some friends who were pretty tough. And so I would hang around these guys and I would make sure they stayed busy. I mean, I would just, you know, I would get us in a lot of trouble. I mean, you know, people used to say, you know, you hear your kids say, well, I just wish they'd get out of that crowd. They're just in the wrong crowd. Are you kidding? I was the wrong crowd. It was wrong to get with me back then when I was lost. And I would just talk up all kinds of things because I had people with me I knew would just back me up. Well, now I've got God with me. I know He'll back me up. But even in one sense, and that's a negative bad sense, back then you had to be bold enough, stand up, and you were a smart aleck, pop off and say something, but you had to be able to stand there and do that, knowing, trusting that your friends were going to back you up. Because if they didn't, you're going to spend a week in the hospital. Really, I mean, you had to have that kind of faith. I remember one time I hit a guy's car with a bottle rocket one time. This is years ago. I don't know why I'm telling all these stories. But I hit this car with a bottle rocket, and we were driving around the square in center. The center had a square, and everybody drove around the square one way. I drove around it backwards one time by myself one night. But this guy chased us down and chased me into a parking lot, you know, and at the high school late one night, and I had my buddies there with me. I got out, and he was a lot bigger, a lot older than I was, and I had this cigar in my mouth. And I was lost as a goose. Listen, I was lost as a goose. And he says, you hit my car, and he was just shaking all over from head to toe. The guy was so, you ever seen a guy so mad he just shaking? I thought, you know, if somebody doesn't back me up, this guy's going to rip my arms off. And so I was counting on it, you know. I had a lot of faith back into my friends, and I stood right there, and I'd spit between his legs while he's talking to me and telling me, yeah, I hit your car with a bottle rocket. And he said, I never will forget this. He said, what are you doing standing there grinning like a possum in a persimmon tree? I don't know where that saying came from. That's what he said. And sure enough, my buddy stood around me. He finally backed, had enough sense to know that he couldn't whoop us all. He might knock me out, you know. But I'd wake up later on. My friends would have him on the ground, and he left. But see, that boldness came from knowing they were with me. That's a negative story and a negative thing and nothing to be proud of. But see how in the natural, in the flesh, we do that. We put our trust and faith in someone to back us up and to carry us through something we could not do ourselves. Yes. Are you kidding? I was history. I couldn't have handled that. No way I could have handled that guy. I wasn't going to let him know that because I had somebody backing me up. You know, a lot of situations you can't handle by yourself. But we're not talking about friends backing you. We're talking about God Almighty. We're talking about the Maker and the Creator of the universe. He is our Father and our Lord and our Savior. Hallelujah. And He's with us.
Amen.
And that brings comfort.
Yes.
That makes me bold. Makes me bold when the crisis hits. Makes me bold when I want to be shaken, you know, I want to give up and throw the towel in. I can rise up and I can speak up. I can stand up. Hallelujah. And I can stand there and know I'm going to make it. Because if I begin to fall, He'll hold me back up.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Yep.
Okay. So, He says, the crooked places will be made straight, fourth verse, and the rough places smooth, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed.
Amen.
The glory of the Lord will be revealed. The honor of the Lord. You know the word glory is the same word as honor? In the Old Testament, same thing in the New Testament. The word glory in the New Testament also is translated honor. Same word in the Greek and same word in the Hebrew here in the Old Testament. It's God's honor is His glory. His glory is His honor. He'll come on the scene. And He will be honored and glorified. His glory honors Him. And His honor demands His glory comes. How does that come? By speaking comfort. By speaking the right thing, by preaching the right thing, by sharing the right thing, which is that God's bigger in the situation. He'll smooth out the rough paths. He'll fill in the valleys and He'll flatten the mountains in your life. And the crooked places He'll make straight. Amen? And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together. Oh yeah, there's a lot going on in your life. And when this is all said and done, they're going to see God move in your life if you will trust Him and you will believe Him. The problem's not God. The crisis is not God. What's going on is not God. But the victory is God. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed if you will stand on His Word. If you will stand there in the face of the wind. If you'll stand there in the battle, in the heat of the battle, when the bullets are flying, if you will not quit and you will not give up, the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Wow. I don't know about you. It just stirs me. Just a few little verses there. You know, you get to read them and, man, they just charge me up. For the voice said, cry out, sixth verse. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the loveliness or the glory of man is like the flower of the field, the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower fades away because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. In other words, your opposition, your problem, your trouble, your tragedy, your crisis, the mountain on your horizon is flesh. It is nothing. It will wither away at the breath of God. It will blow away like grass, like flowers of the field. Yeah. Y'all catching it? That's the context of it. Well, what shall I cry out? Cry this out. This is all flesh. It's just like grass. Trouble, trouble everywhere. It's just like grass. All the glory of it is like a flower of the field. The grass withers. The flower fades because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass, the opposition. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Woo! I love it. I just love it. See, shout comfort. Comfort ye, my people. I love that. I don't know what you're going through, but I know one thing. God's bigger than what you're going through. What you're going through is just like grass. It's like a flower of the field. It comes, it goes. It's not here to stay. Only God stands forever. And the word of our God will stand forever. Amen? Ninth verse, O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem. You who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid, say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. You want to look at something? Look at God. You're filled with a problem, you ought to be filled with God. Amen. You're talking a problem, you ought to talk the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. That's right.
Well, you don't know what I'm facing. Well, that's the problem, what you're facing. You need to face God. See, we'll say things like, well, you know what? You don't know what I'm looking at here. Well, no one knows what you're looking at. That's the problem. You need to look at God. Yeah, but I'm facing all this. Yeah, you need to turn your face and get your face in His face. You need to behold your God. And we as ministers and as Christians, as believers that are trying to help people, we ought to stand on the mountaintop and tell people to do that. Stand up in the high places. Hey, let me get your attention. Turn around. Behold your God. He's not dead. Hallelujah. Hadn't fallen asleep. Still alive. Tenth verse, we'll skip on after this. Tenth verse says, behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work is before Him.
Amen.
The Lord will come in the midst of your trial. He will come in the midst of your trouble. He will come in the midst of what's going on in your life. And all your trouble will be like the grass of the field when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. The word of our God will stand forever. Your trouble won't last. Evil's not going to last forever. Don't be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12:21. Eternal good is eternal, not evil. Good wins. I've read the back of the book. I know who wins this deal. You know, I love that saying, when the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. He loses, we win. Amen. We're winners. Now, notice this, going down to the 27th verse. This is helping somebody tonight. 27th verse, and I've just read the whole chapter. I just, like I say, we don't have time to go through everything here. There were some high spots I wanted to hit here. 27th verse, this is where we often miss it. We get to whining, moaning, complaining, and griping. You ever been there? You know when you throw a pity party, you know who shows up? You and the devil. That's it. It's a two-party party. Okay, 27th verse. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? He doesn't know what I'm going through. And my just claim, my right, is passed over by my God. Nobody knows the trouble I see.
Yeah.
That's a lie. God's got every hair on your head counted. Some folks, that's not a big problem. But I mean, you know, but he knows your address. Now, Bob, I didn't point anybody out. You know that I wouldn't. Okay. He knows your address. Knows where you live. He's passed you by. What is that? Why do you say, O Lord, and speak, O Israel, O Lord, my way is hidden from the Lord. God doesn't know what I'm going through. He just doesn't care. My just cause, my right, is passed over by my God. Everybody's getting blessed. I'm just not getting blessed. Well, it is funny, isn't it? I mean, well, because we get that. Don't you get that way? I mean, you'll get down and you think you're the only one that's got any problems.
Yeah.
Come on now. I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. We've all been there. I've got no stones to throw. We've all been there. But you notice how you pull away and you start feeling sorry for yourself and everybody's against you. It's everybody else's fault. You're in the mess you're in. And and finally, you just get mad at God. Now it's God's fault. Nobody's backing me up. Nobody's helping me. Nobody's standing behind me. I'll tell you what. And God, where is God? Where is God? Where is God? Well, he didn't go anywhere. He's still in the same place he's always been. Hello. Now, this is a famous passage of Scripture. You'll recognize it right off the bat, but I want you to get the context of it. He starts out in this chapter telling us we ought to be speaking comfort to people and let people realize that there is God. There is a God who stands up for his people. You know, and everything was just like flesh and grass and it'll wither away. You know, we got hope. We got help in God. He'll come. He'll do what he says. We need to behold him and quit talking about him not being there and not coming through and not knowing about our situation. And then he responds to that with 28th verse. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Very sarcastic, but it is a good rebuke. We need to hear this. We get in those kind of moods and we get in those, you know, get introverted and start having a pity party and blaming everybody and everything. And no, you got to stop. Where you been? Were you outside when we were preaching? You know, we were talking about God. Did you not hear that? See, that's what he's saying. He's basically saying, where have you been all your life? You must not get out much. Have you not known? Have you not heard? I mean, you catch the tone of what he's saying here? Repetitively, I mean, just, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Maybe you're weary, but he's not. Maybe you're about ready to throw a towel in, but he doesn't. Why don't you hook up with him?
Amen.
Why don't you get some strength from him? Why don't you call on him? Amen?
Hallelujah.
He gives power. Come on now. He gives power to the weak. You feeling weak? Well, he gives power to the weak. He gives power to the weak. See, Joel 3:10 says, let the weak say, I'm strong. See, you've got to start it. You've got to start believing. You've got to start trusting. You've got to stand up there when you don't feel like it. You've got to be bold and speak it.
Amen.
Not necessarily because you're that strong. Not necessarily because you're that able. But he is. And he will back you up.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
He gives power to the weak. You feeling weak? Well, he gives power to weak people. Yeah, but I'm feeling so weak. Well, he gives power to the weak people. I love that Joel 3:10. You talk to people and say, well, I'm just feeling kind of weak about it. I don't think I can make it. Well, the Bible says, let the weak say I'm strong. And I've had people say, well, I can't. I'm weak. Well, the Bible says, let the weak say I'm strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't understand. I'm weak. Well, that's who's supposed to say I'm strong. I'm thinking, I wanted to slap him. You're not getting it. I know you're weak. That's who he's talking to. Yeah, but I'm weak. Right.
Uh-huh.
Now say, I'm strong. Oh, I can't do that. I'm weak. No, don't get it. See, just miss the whole point. It is at times like that that you need to stand up and speak up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's at times like that you need to behold your God. To times like that, you need to draw from that strength that God gives. He puts power into the weak. Oh, hallelujah. You know, in fact, this verse, 29th verse, says He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. The Moffat translation says, into the weary, He puts power. New strength to the weak. New strength. I like that. Adds new strength. Adds new strength to the weak. The Amplified says, causing it strength to multiply, making it to abound. Yes. I like that. That's good, isn't it? So you feel a little weak, God will abound and multiply your strength.
Amen.
He'll put power into you. You just need to stay hooked up. It's when you unhook, that's when you get in trouble. You got to stay hooked up because He'll put strength into you. He'll put power into you. He'll abundantly multiply or increase strength, King James Version says. 30th verse says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. This is not a natural thing. This is not something you're naturally capable of. In the natural, even young men will fall. Think about it. Well, I'm just not that strong. But God is. God is. Well, I'm not a young man anymore. Well, God hadn't gotten any older. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. He's the Lord God. He changes not. Just tap into His strength. Amen? We're talking about believing and trusting in Him and getting comfort and help and hope from God. And that's what Isaiah is saying here. He gives power to the weak. To those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength.
Yes.
I'm getting stronger.
Yes.
Getting stronger every day. I mean, really, as far as in the Word, I'm getting stronger in the Word every day. I remember when I first started going to Lakewood Church years ago and hearing Brother Osteen, and I thought Brother Osteen was pretty old at that time. And I think he's about my age at that time. But anyway, he was, and I was amazed at, you know, week in and week out. I mean, just we went to every single service they had, and I listened to Brother Osteen preach over and over and over. Never heard him preach a bad sermon. I mean, every sermon was just good. It was just hot. It was anointed. He was excited. He was up. And I thought, you know, I wonder how long this can last. How can he just have this many hot sermons? And, you know, as the years went by, he got better and he got stronger and his sermons got more anointed. And, you know, he was just as excited when he went on to be with the Lord about Jesus as he was the first time I met him and saw him at Lakewood Church. And if you're serving God and you're doing it right, everybody say doing it right, because you can do it wrong. But if you're doing it right, it gets better. I am more excited right now about Jesus than I've ever been. Been saved 32 years. Been preaching, pastoring 25. Been preaching a lot longer than that. But I've been pastoring 25 years. I'm more excited about International Outreach Church. I'm more stirred up about where we're going. I've got greater vision than I've ever had. And I don't know if I would have believed that 25 years ago if you told me that 25 years down the road you're going to be more excited than you are right now. I would say, well, that's just not possible. That just can't be. But it is. It is. It really is. I am more excited about God's Word. More excited about God's Word. I get more out of it. And I used to get a lot out of it back then. But as the years go on, I get more and more and more. It gets better and better. Oh, I'm getting older on the outside. Oh, the outward man may perish, but the inward man is renewed day by day. Hallelujah. Oh, it's good stuff. Amen. This road I'm on is a road that you get stronger on the longer you're on it. The roads of the natural, you get weaker the longer you're on them. But God's road makes you stronger.
Yes.
I know it doesn't make any sense, but it's what the Bible says. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. When the young fall, we're still going. We're like that, what is that?
Energizer bunny.
We just keep going. Where does that strength come from? God. How can you still be so excited? God, aren't you burnt out? No, don't get burnt out. Yeah, but you know, you've pastored a long time like you have. You know, you just get tired and burn out. No, not really. Actually, if I ever get burnt out, it's because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
There you go.
I know people get burnt out, but you'll never get burnt out worshiping the Lord.
Right. No.
Now, you can get burnt out doing things for God, but that's because your relationship's not where it ought to be. You can get out, you can burn out ministering to people, but you'll never burn out ministering to God. And if you start getting burnt out ministering to people, it's because you're not ministering to God like you should. It's somewhere in your personal life, somewhere in your personal character. I just wore out. I just wore out. Well, I've been tired too, but you know what? I get my strength from God. I know who to run to in the time of trouble. I know who to go to when I'm overwhelmed, when I'm over my head. And you know what? I decided a long time ago, I'm just over my head every day. Just get it over with. I need God every day. I can't make it a day without God, without believing, trusting Him, without praying, without turning it over to Him, not coming to Him. I just decide, well, I'm just going to need Him every day, so I'll just stay in contact with Him every day. Amen. And I won't get wore out that way. Yeah. Woo! I'm helping somebody here tonight. Now, come on. I'm helping somebody. In fact, hold your place there. Notice Psalms 27. We're going to get back to Isaiah 40. Psalms 27, I was quoting there, where it says, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. 31st verse. Psalms 27, notice the last verse of Psalm 27, 24th verse. Excuse me, the 14th verse. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Y'all see that? Identical, almost identical to what he's saying in Isaiah. And I think that's where we miss it. We get wrapped up in the problem. We're not really waiting on God. And that wait is to expect, to look for, to hope, to, you know, that's an expectancy. It's not just, you know, twiddling our thumbs, pacing the floor, waiting. No, it is looking and waiting and expecting God to move. And in so doing, if you'll be of good courage, sometimes fear comes. I mean, that, you can't help that. I mean, it's like walking in a house and one of your kids stand behind the door and they say, boo. You know, I mean, if you're not expecting that, that'll scare anybody for a moment. But the Bible says, be not afraid of sudden fear. Yep. Be not afraid of sudden fear. What does that mean? Well, it means you have the fear. You feel the fear. It's there, but you're not afraid of the fear. I mean, we can be scared like that real quick. But we get our wits back. We get a hold of ourselves and we're not afraid of it. Or it's not going to stay. It's not going to maintain any outpost in our life. We're not going to give up any ground there. Hello. We feel it. We sense it. Hey, a brave man is not someone who does not feel fear. A brave man is a man who conquers fear, who resists fear, who feels it and overcomes it. There's nothing brave about not feeling fear. I mean, why would you call me brave for walking over here? There's no fear walking over here. You wouldn't call me a brave man for doing that, would you? But if the doctor told me if I stood up and tried to walk, my bones would break and I'd be an invalid the rest of my life and I stood up and began to walk, well, I'd have to overcome some fear. That'd be a brave person to do something like that. But there's nothing brave about me doing it. See, you can't be brave unless there is fear. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Courage is not the absence of fear. It's a conquest of fear. So when you say, well, I feel fear. Well, join a club. We all feel it. What separates us from those that don't do anything is the fact we do something anyway. Amen. Feel the fear. Do it anyway. Yeah. Amen. So what he's saying here, he's saying you wait on God. You feel the fear, but be of good courage. Don't act on it. Don't act on it. If you're often say this, if you're trusting God and believing God and you're shaking, your knees not, kneel on them. The best thing to do with the knees that knock, just kneel on them. Get on your knees and pray. And if your lips just quivering, speak the word. Stutter it out if you have to. Say Jesus. Just get it out there. It's not about the lip quivering or not quivering. It's about you believing and trusting and saying the name. Amen. It's standing there. Hallelujah. Isn't it good? And if you'll do that, see, if you'll be of good courage, God will come through. In fact, He'll make you strong. But you've got to make the decision. You have to wait on God and be of good courage. And then He will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now back to Isaiah. This helping y'all tonight? Man. 31st verse. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. they shall renew their strength. Amen. You know, the Amplified says, who expect, look for, hope in Him shall change and renew their strength and power. I like that. There's a change coming.
Amen.
Oh, I may feel fear now, but there's a change coming. I may feel weak now, but there's a change coming. Because I'm waiting on the Lord. And I'm looking for. And I'm expecting Him to move. And so there's a change coming. This is not going to last.
Yeah.
There's a change coming. This fear is going to be replaced with courage and strength. Amen? Because I'm waiting on God. God always comes through. He never lets me down. He's always come through in the past. He'll come through this time.
Amen.
He's never lied and never will lie. Amen?
Amen.
All I got to do is stand here. Now, if I quit and give up, no, it's over. But see, if I don't quit, I win. Ooh, hallelujah. So it says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The Young's literal translation here says, those expecting Jehovah, those expecting Jehovah pass to power.
Wow.
Man, I like that too. We pass to power. In other words, you'll pass that. You'll pass that weakness to power. Like you're on a bus or a train. You can imagine, I used to, you know, they'd say, you know, you go through Wills Point going to Terrell, and you go from Terrell going to, say, Forney, you know, and you go through Wills Point, and they say, next stop, Terrell. Get to Terrell. Next stop, Forney. Well, maybe you feel a little weak right now, but next stop, the strength of the Lord. Next stop, don't get off the train. Stay on there. You'll pass to power. Next stop, power.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
See, you do pass from weakness to strength.
Sure.
If you stay on the train.
Yes.
If you stay on track. Don't get off track. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stop. No, don't stop. Don't get off at that stop. See, we want to shut the engines down and just get off right there. At weakness. At trial. At tragedy. No, you stay on the train. You go to the next stop. This will change. You'll pass that stop to power. Woo! Hallelujah. I feel like I stepped into something there. Yeah. Are you with me? See, wait for the next stop. Just wait for the next stop. That's all you got to do. You got to wait for the next stop. Don't get, if you don't like where you are, don't get off the train. Well, man, I just don't like all this. Well, don't get off. Stay on. Let's go to the next stop. Let's pass this one. And let's pass to power. Oh, hallelujah. That's just all over me more than anywhere else. I like that. So, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
Yes.
They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk, not faint.
Amen.
We won't give out. We get stronger.
Amen.
That's why, you know, you work out, you get tired. You get tired working out. While you work out, the tireder you get. But in God, the more you serve Him, the stronger you get.
True.
I mean, isn't that good? It's just the opposite of the world. See, you get more strength serving God. The longer you serve, the stronger you get. Hallelujah. It gets better and better and better.
Yes.
Can I read you a couple verses in 41st chapter? Man, it's just so good, I don't want to stop here. Okay. 8th verse. 41st chapter, 8th verse. I tell you what, 8, 9, and 10. Yeah, we'll just stop right there. I may read one more after that.
Go on, brother.
8 verse says, but you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend. Now think how much better we are in a situation than even then. That's the old covenant. We're his children. He's our daddy. So he's talking to him from that relationship. 9 verse. You whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest region, and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Aren't you glad? He has not cast us away. 10th verse. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God.
Amen.
I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The Amplified says here, I will harden you to difficulties. Man, I love that. Because, you know, in fact, that word heart, you know, in Deuteronomy 15 chapter 7 verse, it talks about giving to poor and lending to a poor brother if they're in need. And it says, don't harden your heart to your poor brother, but you open up your heart and you help him. Everybody say, don't harden your heart. Same word. That's the same word, Hebrew word, where it says, I will strengthen you. But this means just the opposite. Like you would harden your heart toward people. We talk about people being a hard person, a cold person. He's unaffected by poor people, unaffected by tragedy and by pain. He's hard. That's a hard man. You've heard the term. You've used the term even. That's a hard man. Why? Because he's unaffected by it. Well, let me tell you a good side of hardened. Hardened to difficulty, you're unaffected by it. Let the wind blow. We've heard the wind blow before. Amen. Let the devil throw his best shot. We'll still be standing when it's all over because our God will strengthen us. Our God will never forsake us nor leave us. We'll pass to power. We'll renew our strength. And he will harden us to difficulties. In fact, where he told Joshua, Joshua 1, 6, 7, and 9, where he said, be of good courage. Be strong of good courage. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and courageous, for unto thee I will divide the inheritance, so I promised to your fathers to give them. Three times that word courage, courage in the sixth verse, courage in the seventh verse, courage in the ninth verse, the first chapter of Joshua, if you're writing notes, where he said, be strong of good courage. That word courage is the same word translated harden, strengthen right here. That's good, isn't it? So he commanded Joshua, and actually David commanded Solomon when he told him to build the temple. He said, son, you be strong and of good courage and do it. He told him to build the temple. That word courage there is the same word translated here, strengthen. So courage, strengthen, harden us to difficulties. I love that. You know, when it's all said and done, we'll still be standing. I love the example, and I know, you know, Chris made fun of me at the 25-year anniversary, but it still bears repeating. It's a good story. I love the example of R.W. Shambach talking about we need a revelation of the Father. We need a revelation of the Shepherd watching over us all the time, taking care of us, guarding us, protecting us, and so on and so forth. And he talks about sheep out there in the field eating grass. And, of course, Shambach's real animated, you know, and he says, those sheep, they get out there in that field, and they're chomping on that grass. Mm-hmm. And way off in the distance, they hear the wolf hollering, oh! Those sheep, they don't look up see where the wolf is. They look up see if the shepherd's still there. And if the shepherd's still there, they just keep chomping on that grass. Hallelujah! Think about it. See, as long as God's with us, let the devil holler.
That's right.
Let the wind blow. Let him throw his best shot. Fear not, I'm with you. See, that's what God's saying. Comfort ye, my people. Comfort ye, my people. Boy, we got hope and comfort in God. Amen? Well, I got to quit. I'll just quit. Well, okay. 13th verse, we'll quit. 13th verse. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Man, what else you need to know? Amen. He is going to help us. I got good news for you tonight. God loves you. He's for you. He's not against you. He wants to help you. Maybe you're going through something. Hey, life's that way. Life's a battle. I mean, we have battles and tragedies and trials and crises from time to time, but we've got a God that's bigger than the crisis. If you'll call on Him, He'll help you. You'll come through. You'll pass this stop. Just don't get off the train. You'll pass this stop, this crisis, and you'll pass to power.